everyone doing that. We're just going to come around the word of the Lord. So let's maybe just pray before we open the word this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're with us. Father, we've just celebrated, Lord, that what a wonderful God you are, Lord, the wonderful sacrifice when we had communion together. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord, in many ways. Lord, you speak to us in the worship time. Lord, you speak to us as we pray. And Lord, that you speak to us through your word. And Father, as we open the word this morning, Father, we just pray that you speak to each of us this day. And Lord, we ask that in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you've got a Bible, you can actually turn to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be opening the word in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. What I want to speak about this morning is about running on empty. Now, I don't know whether you've ever been driving in your car and you're driving along and you hadn't really thought about the petrol. You're just going somewhere, you're on the way, and all of a sudden you see the little yellow light begin to flash. Or some cars, it could be a red light begins to flash, and it begins to warn you that you're actually starting to get a little bit low on petrol. And once that begins to happen, you immediately begin to think, am I going to make it to where I've got to go? And so you're mentally calculating, okay, normally it comes on, maybe there's 8 litres left in the tank, and maybe I've got however many Ks I'm going to get out of this tank before I'm going to get to my destination. And hopefully that there's enough in my tank to get me by, that I'm going to get along there. But sometimes even as Christians, we have a tank that we need to keep filled up. And sometimes the little warning light comes on and begins to flash for us that we're getting a little bit low, but sometimes we actually don't even notice that. And the worst thing is if you haven't noticed a little light come on, and then all of a sudden the light stays on, and then, you know, like you're in real trouble now, and you're not necessarily going to make it to the destination. As believers, we've got to make sure that we're always keeping ourselves filled up with the things of God. The scripture there in Ephesians 5:14, it says, "Wake up, O sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on us." Our theme for the year is about shining, and we want to be people that are shining and radiating the glory of God. And we need to be awake, we need to be alert in the things of God, that we're going to be able to reflect and represent Christ in the world. But sometimes we can begin to run out a little bit. We start to run a little bit low. And by that, I mean, I'm talking about our motivation in things, our motivation in the things of God, our motivation even in life. And you begin to find that things are a little bit struggling. And if you ever find that you find yourself going through the motions, you're just sort of going through doing the routine, going through things, and you're in a little bit of a rut, maybe you're not really growing, you're coming to the end of the year, you begin to look at your life and say, oh, how much have I really grown this year? Maybe you were confronted when you did that survey. Maybe there were some questions there that said, asked you some things about your own personal growth or sense of growth. And you maybe begin to look at it and think, well, maybe I haven't grown perhaps as much as I could have or wanted to or should have perhaps. And maybe there's a little yellow light beginning to flash and beginning to say, no, look, you're beginning to run really low. In fact, you're basically running on empty. And the worst thing is when you actually come to the place and there's nothing in your tank. A lot of people mistakenly think that they can come to the church on Sunday. We come along and we worship. We sense the presence of God. We have the word of God and we get a big dose in our tank. Our tank gets filled up. And then that's enough to carry me all the way through to the next week. And some people, they just feel like, oh, I'm just going to make it to Sunday, make it to church, and then I get filled up again, and then I'm okay. Well, it doesn't work that way, because you don't actually have a week-long tank that's going to make you go from week to week, from Sunday to Sunday. Actually, God has given us a daily tank, and he wants us to be refreshed and filled in the things of God every day. And so if you miss a day, you're suddenly going to start to running down on your reserves. And at some point, your light's going to begin to come on. And if we keep missing and we're not filling ourselves, you're going to find that you're going to become demotivated in the things of God. You're going to find that you start to just, look, I feel like I'm just going through the motions, or I'm struggling. It's just some life seems to be lacking. There's something missing. And it's maybe because you're not keeping your tank nice and full. And maybe today, for some, today will be a little yellow flashing light that will begin to warn us and say, look, you've got to keep that tank full. Because eventually, if you totally run out, that scripture we talked about, it says, wake up, sleeper. And we're not talking about sleeping this morning. I'm not talking about being tired or sleepy. I'm sure Karen was very tired this morning because they had a 18th or something. They're probably half the night probably cleaning up from their party or whatever. And so some people can be physically tired. We're not talking about that. Talking about a spiritual tiredness where there's a lack of energy, a lack of motivation, and you really begin to feel, if you have an honest look at yourself, you think, yeah, look, I'm really beginning to run on empty. and maybe I'm in some danger because of that, and that's really what I want to talk about. But let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 8 to 21, and we'll do this as quickly as we can this morning, as we do have limited time. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 21. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." We're talking about shining. It says, you are light now. You were once darkness, but you are now light. It says, "Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. That's why it said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so this passage talks to us about some things about keeping our tank full and to be filled in the things of God. And when I'm talking about how full your tank is, I really want you to look at is how motivated you are, how passionate you are about the things of God. How passionate are we? How motivated we are? Because every one of us, I'm sure if you fill that survey in, you probably put, yes, the Lord is the number one in my life. And I won't have the opportunity to do it, but if we got the results back specifically on that one, they just give us back collectively. But I'm sure most of us would have put that there. But maybe, and that's the heart of many people, but maybe we can actually find ourselves, because we're not actually filling our tank up, and we start to run on empty. And then we find that our motivation begins to wane. You find that going to church, yeah, look, I'm a little bit tired, a little bit busy. Maybe I won't go today. Maybe I need a bit of a break. And we begin to allow other things to begin to creep in as we're not keeping our tank nice and full. But ultimately, the things that motivates us as Christians, there's two things that motivate us. And this passage has them both in it. It says in verse 10, it says, "Find out what pleases the Lord." And if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, the thing that motivates us more than anything is we want to please God. Lord, I love you. Lord, you've done so much for me. Jesus died on the cross in my place for my sin. He took the punishment that I deserved. And Lord, I am so grateful that you did that for me. Lord, I love you so much, and I know how much you love me. Lord, I want to please you, Lord. And I want to live my life in such a way that pleases you. Lord, I want to please you in everything that I do, everything I say, every thought that I have. Lord, I want to please you with everything in my life. And that's the prime motivator for us as Christians. We want to please God. We live our life not for ourselves, not for others, but we live our life to please God, number one. And that's our heart. We want to please him. And the other motivation that we have is in verse 17. It says, "Understand what the Lord's will is." So you want to do the things God wants you to do. You want to please him because you love him. You want to please him because you're so grateful for what he's done. But also we were motivated because we want to do the very things that God wants us to do. So at the end of our life, when all is said and done, and we see all the way that we lived our life and all of the things that we've accomplished for God and the things that he wanted us to do, not what we thought he wanted us to do, but what he asked us to do and told us to do. And then he says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You followed my will, my purpose, my plan, the destiny that I have for your life. And you've accomplished all of those things. Well done, good and faithful servant." And I'm sure that's our heart. We want to please God and we want to do his will. Amen? Well, I do. I'm sure, and glad Mark does. I'm sure there's others here as well. We're motivated by that. We want to please God and we want to do his will. And that is the prime motivating force within our lives. That we want to please you and we want to do our will. But what can happen is that we don't keep our spiritual tank and even our motivational tank filled up in terms of the things of God. Things can come a little bit, begin to run down a little bit. And again, the little light can come on, and sometimes we try to wing it. Well, I'll just keep going. I'm all right. You know, God touched me last week, or he touched me last month, or he touched me last year. And maybe, you know, I'll just keep skirting along. I'm just cruising along. And maybe, but then all of a sudden we find that, yeah, our tank is really low. and you find that you're demotivated. You find that you just don't seem to have that passion that maybe you had before. And I want to talk about how we can make sure that we don't allow ourselves to get that situation where we find ourselves to be sleeping, when we find ourselves to be spiritually sleeping. Because when we're not motivated with our life to please God and we're not motivated to do the will of God, then we've become asleep spiritually. Not dead yet. Just a little bit in our tank there, and we're still, you know, hanging in there. We're not dead. But maybe we can actually be spiritually asleep. And the sad thing is that the little indicator being, you're about to run out, and we don't even see it. Well, let's make sure that we don't do that. And so when we have low motivation, when there's a lack of energy, a lack of focus, a lack of purpose within our life, when we become sleepy, when we become spiritually lethargic, we become demotivated, we can become sleepy even in the things of God, because we're not overwhelmingly full of the passion to please God and to do His will. And we find that other things begin to creep into our life. Now, when I'm talking about being sleepy, I'm not talking about having rest. We need to have rest. Our body needs to have rest. Our emotions need to rest. Our mind needs to be rest. If you've got a hyperactive mind and your mind is going crazy all night, every night, you'll never sleep in your body. You won't get any real rest at all. Our mind, we need to be able to rest. But what I'm talking, what the trouble is that some people get rest and being asleep mixed up. They think, oh, I'm just going to be asleep instead of rest. But the bottom line is, Jesus said for us to come to Him and find rest. And He says that. He says that in Matthew 11:28, He says, come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And there are pressures in life. There are things that come against us, things that can be very difficult circumstances and situation. And we need to be able to rest, find a place of rest in that. Trouble is that for sometimes that we can make the mistake of, rather than coming to Jesus and finding rest, what we do is actually we withdraw even from the things of God. Well, maybe we don't fellowship as much. Maybe we don't pray and read our Bible as much. Maybe we're not getting as close to God, and we think, well, and I just need to, I'm tired. I just need to sleep. I need to sleep in this Sunday. Excuse me, I'm just too tired. I've got too many things going on, too much pressure. I'm just going to sleep in. I'm not even going to come to church because I just need a rest. I need a break. And to me, that's totally counterintuitive. It's actually crazy to do that. It's like somebody who's really hungry. So, oh, I'm so hungry. I'm starving. I'm really hungry, so I'm not going to eat. And there's all this food. I'm not going to eat because I'm really hungry. So I'm starving now, but I'm not going to eat because I'm starving. You think anyone who was thinking that is crazy? But we do that. Rather than coming to Christ and finding rest, what we can do is we pull away because we're busy, we pull away because we're stressed, because we're pressured, because of life which happens to every one of us, and we can find that we begin to actually start to go asleep. And maybe we've still got a little bit of momentum, you know, we love God, and you know, and therefore there's a little bit in our tank, and there's still a sense, yeah, I love God, I'm okay, I'm still walking with Him, but that little light begins to flash because we're not filling our tank every day. We're going to find ourselves in trouble. So we need to have rest, but we find rest in God. Don't find rest from God. Holiday season is coming up very soon. And a lot of people will take holidays, and we need to be able to do that. You need to take time out, but don't take time out for God or from God. Take time out in God, allow Him to refresh you. Because He's the one when you're hungry. He's the one who's going to feed you. Don't think, oh, I'm so hungry, I'm not going to eat anymore. No, you just satisfy the longing of your soul. You find that in Jesus Christ. It's important that we do that. And so I'm not saying when I'm talking about being asleep, I'm not saying I'm talking about difference between resting. We need to rest in God, but not from God. But when people withdraw, they find that they actually begin to sleep. And they don't even know that because there's still a little bit in the tank. And so we want to guard ourselves. We're not like those. We don't want to be like that, those that might fall asleep. How do we know that we're sleepy when that low motivation is there? How do we know? What's the little flashing yellow light that warns us and says, actually, you're just cruising along on yesterday's experience or yesterday's meal or the touch of God that you have before? One of the things is that we can have compromise begins to creep into our life. You allow areas of sin in either your deed or even just thought that before, maybe that you would not have that before. If you have a look at verses 3, I'll just quickly read verses 3 to 6. It won't come on the screen, but let me read it to you. It says, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which is out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure or greedy person, so sexual sin, sex outside of marriage, anything like that, being greedy, all of the things, wanting everything. It says such a man is an idolater, and it says you can be sure none of these people, no immoral, impure or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. So we go, wow, I want to make sure I don't allow those things into my life. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, but because of these things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, don't be partners with them. And so we've got to watch our heart. It says to live as children of the light. And so we've got to guard that. But when we allow our tank to get down and maybe the light is becoming really low, there'll be areas of compromise we allow in our lives that we would have never allowed before. And so we've got to guard that. None of us are immune to this. Scripture says, if you think you're okay, it says, watch out, because you may be the very one that falls. And so we've got to be keeping our eyes and saying, Lord, I want to keep this tank of mine full. I want to keep myself spiritually full. I'm not going to allow compromise in my life. The other thing that can happen is when we become running on empty and we just allow things just to wane down a little bit, we suddenly find that we're unproductive in the things of God. Maybe you just stopped sharing your faith. Maybe you used to do that. Maybe you ticked a little box in the survey that says, yes, I look for every opportunity to openly share my faith. But the reality is maybe you don't really do that. Maybe you didn't do that this week. Did you do it this week? Did you do it last month? Now, your heart's probably right. My heart's probably right. We want to do what's right. But maybe if we're not keeping our tank full, we've got all the good intentions because we know what we really need to be doing. But we can find that that wanes down and we become unfruitful in sharing our faith. We become unfruitful in the kingdom of God. We just find those things begin to happen and we can waste time. You know, we've got one life to live. You've got X amount of hours that every one of us has. Now, some people get a little bit longer than others. And none of us knows how long our clock is, how long it's. The Lord says every day that I have is ordained for you. It's already done. It's already written. He knows how long we've got. And yet when we become to run on empty, we begin to squander whatever time we have. And we begin to find that we waste time. We get distracted with so many other things. And now our priorities begin to go out the window. The things that we say, look, we're motivated, Lord, because I love you. And I want to please you, God. I want to please you because you love me and I love you. And I am so grateful, Lord, and I want to do your will. But as we become a little bit running, other things suddenly become all that much more important. And the things of God can suddenly become secondary. Why? Because my tank, it's getting down really low and I'm not filling myself every day. And I maybe made the mistake of thinking I can go to church every week and get enough. Or go every 2 weeks or once a month. But remember, you've got a one-day tank and we need to keep that filled up. And so we can end up with wrong priorities. We didn't even intend to do that. No one ever set out because you love God. There's no question about any of us loving God. No question at all. But because we don't keep ourselves filled, we can suddenly find a whole lot of other things begin to get, and we find ourselves asleep. And the tragedy is that a lot of light goes, meep, 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 and we're not even realizing it. And we've got to be really, really careful. And as I said, maybe for some of us today, this will be a flashing line to warn us. Maybe you used to be really full-on serving, you know. You just couldn't wait, you know. They want someone to serve the tea and coffee. I'm going to be that person. I will be there. I'll do that. They want someone to do this. I'm going to be that person. And there was a joy in what you do and everything else, and your heart's there. But maybe now it's, well, maybe someone else can do it because I did it before or whatever else. Maybe that tank is just starting to get a little bit low. And it's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. Deuteronomy 25, it says this, verses 17 and 18. It says, remember what the Amalekites did to you. Now it's talking about the children of Israel. Remember what the Amalekites did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt. When you were weary and worn out, they met you on your journey and they attacked all those who were lagging behind. Attacked all those who were lagging behind. They had no fear of God. And so we can be in a vulnerable position. We can find that, hang on, what's going wrong here? Everything seems to be, why am I getting picked on? Why all these attacks? Why all these things? Maybe it's because we're not keeping our tank full all of the time because the enemy is looking for the scripture says that the devil is like a roaring lion. He's looking out for who he can devour. And now there's a famous clip. You can Google it when you get home called the Battle of Kruger. It's about these lions and this, cattle, they're fighting over this little calf, and the little calf's little and it's lagging behind, and the lions try to attack it. It's a great little clip. Google it when you get home if you haven't seen that one. But what happens is these lions, they're looking for the weak ones. for looking for the weak ones, the little ones, the ones that are straggling. They're not going to go after the big ones. They're going to go attack for the easy meat, the easy meal that's there ready to go. And the devil is just like that. He's looking around for those that are maybe their tanks, that they're putting along, and maybe they think, you know, the tank's just there. And so it makes us vulnerable. We put ourselves in a vulnerability by just coasting through life, coasting along, thinking that, well, we just had our little dose before. But every single day we need to be filling our tank. And we become a target when we're not doing that. So it's not a nice place to be. It warns us in Matthew 25 about the foolish virgins and the wise virgins. Now, they both fell asleep because the Lord was a long time in coming, but the foolish ones didn't have any oil. Their tanks were totally empty when the Lord came back. Wow. What happened to them? You look at Luke 11, you talk about the master who's coming back with the servant, and he says, it'd be great for the servants that are doing, you know, what the master told them to be doing, you know, when the Lord comes back, but watch out for those who weren't. So we want to keep our tank full. It's not a safe place to be. We can get into a malaise when you're sleepy. I was reading the other day about people that when they're in the snow, people that get lost in the blizzard or something, and they're starting to freeze to death, and they've got no energy. The cold, it just saps the very life out of them. When they fall down and they lie in the snow, they suddenly feel this incredible warmth and this incredible sense of comfort as they lie in the snow. Now, they're going to be dead in a couple of hours or so, but they actually feel warm. They feel cozy as they're lying there freezing to death in the snow. That's what happens to them. And it's, we can be like that. We can be in a malaise and not realizing that maybe we are freezing to death and we don't even realize it. And so again, that light, we don't want to be sleepy. There's dangers of falling asleep. So how do we guard against this? How do we make sure that I'm not going to be one like that who's just going to find themselves in that position where you become demotivated? I'm just going through the motions and I'm just doing the stuff and you know, I'm just struggling all the time and it's just really hard going all of the time and I never feel that sense of victory and I never feel that sense of joy in my life and I'm just struggling the whole time. What do I got to do? Because maybe if I've fallen asleep, I need to wake up. How do I wake up? The scripture says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will shine upon you the warmth of his life. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 and 6, it says this. It says, you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. And we are because we love Jesus Christ. Christ is in our heart and our lives. We don't belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others. So there are some who are going to try to cruise by. They're going to try to get by. They're not going to try to fill themselves up. But it says, no, don't be like that. Let's not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. So being alert and self-controlled is really important. Self-controlled. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-controlled. It says, don't be like that. Some people might want to try to be like that, but we're not like that. We're not going to be like that. We're going to be self-controlled because we are sons of the light. We're going to shine the light of the glory of God. And so it warns us here. It says, so one of the keys is really that we're going to be self-controlled. Being self-controlled is purely to do, not to the level of the temptation or the depth of the struggle that you face, but it is purely to the resolve of the choices that we make. We determine to say, Lord, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be shaken. Lord, I'm going to rely on you and your strength in my life, and I'm going to make the right choices in my life. Why am I going to do that? Because I love you, Lord. I want to please you, and I want to do your will. And it's a matter of personally taking charge and saying, Lord, I'm going to make the choices. Self-control, not parental control, not somebody else control. It's self-control, and I'm going to make the right choices for the motivation, the reason that I love God and I want to do His will. And so self-control is so really important. It's a way to wake up. And so we begin making a choice and say, Lord, I'm going to choose every day. Tomorrow I'm going to fill up my tank. I'll talk about filling it in a moment. I'm going to do that. I'm not going to cruise because I went to church on Sunday yesterday or I went there last the week before that or the last month or turn on the TV. Oh, it's a Christian TV program. Oh, good, I'm right for the next 6 months. No, no, Lord, I'm going to fill my spirit every single day. And it's a conscious, deliberate choice that we make because we're not going to be like others, it says. We're going to be alert and self-controlled. It's about the choices that we make. Can't blame the circumstances, can't blame other people, because we all make choices irrespective of the circumstances and irrespective of other people. It's the choices that we make which is so important. and so that we make the decision, Lord, I'm not going to rest from you in a problem, Lord. I'm not going to sleep, Lord. I'm going to, excuse me, come to you, and I'm going to find that peace, that rest that Jesus speaks about, where I cannot find anywhere else. I can't find that sleeping in. I can't find that going on a holiday for 6 months. There's nothing wrong with taking holidays as long as you take God with you and you seek after him and worship him every single day while you're there, so that you're really resting, not sleeping. So it's important that we do that. And it says even in this passage, Ephesians 5, it says to us, it says, be very careful then how you live. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. It says, careful, take care, flashing light, careful how you live, make the right choices, because we don't want to be a sleeper. We don't want to be someone like that. We want to be alert and we want to be self-controlled. And that's how to wake up, is to say, Lord, I decide today that, yeah, maybe I've let it slip. Maybe I don't read my Bible as much as I should. Maybe I don't pray as much as I should. And maybe church is that little extra that I do every now and again when I can fit it in. And so, no, Lord, I'm going to make choices today. Lord, I'm going to make a deliberate choice. I'm going to put you first in everything that I do. And, Lord, I'm going to be awake. I'm not going to sleep. Lord, I'm not going to become demotivated. I'm not going to be going for the motions. I'm going to find myself in a rut, devoid of joy and devoid of purpose in my life. Lord, now I'm going to be awake. I'm determining I'm going to make the right choices. And we can stay motivated. The scripture tells us in Ephesians 5:8, it says, be filled with the Spirit. You want to have a full tank? Be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Be filled with the Spirit. The sense of this verse is that you're continually filled. You become a Christian, you're born again, the Holy Spirit is living within you. We subsequently get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit. We're clothed with power from on high. And we have the evidence, the gift of speaking in other tongues. We have the power of God living in our life in such a way, a wonderful thing that God does for us. But the sense of the scripture is that we need to be continually filled with the things of God, continually filled with His Spirit. And so that's really, really important, because if you don't do that, I guarantee at some point you will find yourself in a place of demotivation. I don't know if I can be bothered going to church. Oh, look, I don't know if I can be bothered praying. It's just all too hard. It's because you haven't kept yourself full. So be filled with the Spirit. Pray every day. Read His Word. Cry out to God. And love Him, because you love Him and you want to please Him and you want to do His will. You'll keep yourself full. Keep yourself full. It says in Ephesians 5:9, and it says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. I love that, a song from the heart. That's like a real joy. And to sustain your joy is to always to be loving God, worshiping Him. Let your worship rise to God. And you'll find that if you're a worshiper, your tank is going to stay full. You keep worshiping God and loving God despite what happens, despite what doesn't happen that maybe you thought that should. And you just keep loving Him and worshiping Him, you'll find that you will keep that tank of yours full. And so we need to do that. Crying to God, praying out to God, praying and worshiping Him and just loving Him with all our heart. In Ephesians 5:20, it says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks for everything. If you are a grateful person that is grateful for God, so grateful for God, you're going to keep that tank full. It's when you get down, if you haven't done that, you'll get to a point where you think, God, why is all this stuff happening to me? Why have they got that? Why don't I have that? You suddenly start making comparisons. You'll start even allowing resentments. Why do I go for all these problems? What about them? Why am I? Because we've come to that point where we stop being grateful for who God is. We stop being ungrateful for what God has done. And if you allow that gratitude to be in your heart, you will keep your tank full. And so again, we really need to address ourselves and say, Lord, what are the choices that I'm making? Not the excuses, because we're all good at making excuses. People can make some great, I can make some great excuses. Hands up, you're good at making excuses. We all are. And I excuse you for not being excusing. But we all can make excuses. We're really good at that. But when it comes to making the hard choices, it's hard. Why? Because they're hard choices. They wouldn't be hard choices if they were easy. But if we make the hard choices to say, oh Lord, I live my life to please God and to do His will, therefore I'm going to make every choice, whether it's a hard choice or an easy choice, in accordance with that. Every day, Lord, I'm going to come before You. I'm going to worship You. Lord, I'm going to be grateful for that Jesus died on the cross in my place, in my sin. It took my sin that I should have got punished for. I'm so grateful that. Thank you, Lord, that you died for me. How can I be whinging over here? But if I keep the heart, Jesus died for me. He gave me the promise of eternal life. That'll help keep my heart full and be grateful, worshiping, loving God. And I guarantee you will keep your heart. And it doesn't matter what comes along the road. And if your tank's full, it doesn't worry if the journey seems to be a long journey. It's okay. I've got plenty of petrol. I don't care how long the road is. And the road's got lots of twists and turns. It doesn't matter. My tank's full. And maybe there's little tracks to the side. Gee, I didn't know I was going to go that way, but that's okay. I've got a full tank. And maybe the road's rocky and there's problems and all. It doesn't matter. My tank is full. And so I just encourage all of us, let's be like that. Don't be people that become sleepers. Don't ever be a sleeper. Sleep is one step away from death. And we don't want to ever be such a people. Sometimes you wonder, whatever happened to so-and-so? Well, maybe this person, whoever they might be, the person, they think, yeah, I wonder whatever happened to them. Maybe they began to allow things to come into their life. Maybe they became a little bit sleepy, and maybe their heart became cold. The scripture warns us, it says, be very careful, because in the last days, the love of most people will grow cold. Wow, that's pretty scary. Say, Lord, no, I'm not like that, Lord. I'm going to be one who's alert. I'm self-controlled, Lord. I'm going to keep myself full up with the Spirit. So let's stand. I want to pray with us this morning. Maybe you've come this morning, and the bottom line reality truth is that, yeah, look, I've been running on empty. Really lack motivation. You know, even coming to church or to open my Bible or to pray, and you know, I just feel like I'm in a bit of a rut. And I just pray that this day that you're going to make the choice and say, Lord, no, I'm going to break out of that. But maybe you want a touch of the Lord. Allow the Lord to fill you afresh today. But he'll fill you afresh today for today. You need to get filled again tomorrow yourself as you go to the Lord. It's not going to carry you through for the rest of your life or even the rest of the week. Every day we need to be full of the things of God. But if you come today and say, Lord, my tank is empty. Lord, I really need you to fill. I'd love to pray with you this morning. And maybe you're someone that's gone through a whole lot of difficulties, a whole lot of problems. And you say, yeah, look, I don't want to become a sleeper, but I really want to learn what it is to come unto Jesus and have that rest in my life. I want to pray with you this morning. You have that need. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you maybe even know you believe in God, which is great. The devil believes in God, the Bible tells us. But you've never actually said, no, I want to give my life to God. I want to live my life to please him, and I want to do his will. I want to have Jesus Christ alive in my life that I might truly shine his love to the world. I'd love to pray with you this morning. But let me pray for all of us this morning. Father, as we come here before you now, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. And Lord, it's the awareness of your love that motivates us, Lord. We want to find out what pleases you, Lord, because you love us, Lord, and we love you, Lord. We want to do your will, Lord, because, Lord, we don't want to live a pointless and empty life. Lord, we want to live a life that's lived for the very purpose for which it was created. And so, Lord, that is our heart that we come to you today. And Father, for some of us, Lord, well, maybe that tank has gone a little bit empty, Lord. Maybe we've been running on empty for a while, Lord, and Lord, we haven't been filling ourselves, Lord. But instead of filling ourselves, Lord, we've been fooling ourselves. But Father, I pray, Lord, that that little light will go on this day. And Father, as we cry out to you, Lord, even as we worship, Lord, that you will fill us afresh again. Father, for those that are struggling, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they won't become a sleeper, but Lord, they'll learn to rest in Jesus Christ and said, Lord, to know your love, know your presence, know your provision, Lord, know your love and grace, your strength, Lord, your mercy to be poured upon them, Father. But Lord, I pray, Lord, let us be alive and alert, Father, ready for all that you have, Lord. There's so much that we have, Lord, that you have for us, Lord. We don't want to miss out on anything, Lord. So, Father, we bring ourselves this day to you, and we thank you for your love and grace in Jesus' name. We're going to sing this together.